Welcome to the Human Kindness at Work podcast, where you'll hear inspiring stories of people just like you making a difference in their corner of the world. You'll hear how human kindness is at work and how you can be a part of it. I'm Jennifer Clark. Ready to be inspired? Here we go. Has storytelling made a difference in your world? My guest today is using her gifts and talents to see human kindness at work in creative ways. Katie Lee is a multifaceted voice actor. She is the beloved voice of Connie Kendall in America's favorite family radio drama, Adventures in Odyssey. Other roles she's played include Baby Rolf in the Emmy Award-winning Jim Henson's Muppet Babies cartoon series, Honker Muddlefoot in Darkwing Duck, Sheila the Thief in Dungeons & Dragons, and many, many more. She is a talented and hardworking woman, but she's also an incredible human being. She is passionate about helping creatives learn to tell stories that matter. So welcome to the podcast, Katie Lee.
Hello, hello. Oh, we're recording. I'm like listening, thinking I'm not on yet, even though I'm seeing myself. Okay, yeah. Well,
here
it's
you
so
are.
Nice to be a guest on your show because you're a fun person to know.
It is a joy to know you, Katie. I have told you this in person before, but I've grown up listening to you.
That's so weird.
I know that you get that all the time, but I can't even tell you that first time I met you, I was like, this is Connie Kendall. This is like blowing my mind. And I'm sure if people are watching, some people, if they've ever seen you, it's blowing their mind to have like a face with the voice.
Yeah, it used to be people didn't see us. So that was easy. Now I have to either blow people's mind or cause them severe depression. but I try, that's why I try to overcome that by just being nice, you know? I really like the theme of your show because it's really what life is all about, what should be, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Playing our part, doing good in the world. Yeah.
I mean, it means a lot. You know, we blow it off and you say you must hear that all the time. But every time I hear something like that, it weighs heavy on me because I feel like, you know, when you're working, you don't see your audience. You don't know what they're going, you know, or when they're going to hear episode. You don't know anything. And then, you know, you meet people who say that. And for some people, you know, it's really life-changing being on a show like Adventures in Odyssey. Even some of the cartoons we've done, it's life-changing for kids who come home by themselves and that was their companion. And you realize that what we do is not insignificant. You know, it is not.
Yeah. What inspired you to start in the voice acting world?
When the check cleared.
I mean, that's real.
Yeah, it's totally real. You know, I had no idea. I didn't grow up with knowing even, you know, what it was. When I got older, and people have heard this before, but folks said, you sound younger than you are. And, you know, you might want to look into this. And I was like, well, okay, maybe I'll make a little extra money. We'll see. And that's kind of how it started. I've always been a huge fan of audio. Radio's my go-to medium. You know, music, listening to records, listening to stories on the radio. Speaking of stories, you know, it's just this crazy thing is, and I've been working on my autobiography for centuries now, but one of the shows that I listened to religiously every morning, a guy had on our FM station, kind of the indie station when I was growing up, something called the Odyssey Files, and he'd say, and he'd just tell about something that wasn't mainstream news, but it was the Odyssey Files. So it's so funny that I ended up doing this show called Adventures in Odyssey, but very in tune to sounds and stuff like that. So I'd taken a break from college, a little break, because I didn't know what I wanted to major in. And then I did some improv classes to sort of try to overcome my self-consciousness as a human being. And then I made a demo and tried to get work, and I was doing auditions and this woman who was about my age was auditioning me. And I was like, how'd you get your job? As I was a key punch operator. And I was young still, but in like 20, something like that, whatever old you are when after a couple years of college. And she said, oh, I have a degree in radio broadcasting or broadcasting. I was like, what? You can get a degree in that? That sounds like fun. What, you know, and I was living in San Francisco, and that was the major at San Francisco State. So I finished, went back to school, and then I managed to get my SAG card. And when I graduated school, I thought I wanted to be an audio engineer. But if you guys don't know this, they spend hours in the dark doing what everybody tells them to. And I was like, you know, maybe I should just try to look into this voiceover thing a little bit more. And that was in the early 80s, like just started 80s. And I grew up in L.A., so it wasn't a big thing for me to move back to L.A., although I enjoyed Northern California more. And I got an agent right away, started auditioning, learned on the job, and I've been blessed to be able to do it, you know. Nowadays, people know so much about voiceover, and they know it's a career, and they all want to do it, or, you know, I just didn't know, and it was great. I'm very thankful.
Yeah, you've played some really memorable roles.
I know, right? I mean, being in the right place at the right time really helps. Yeah.
I have very vivid memories from my early childhood of every Saturday night, we would have to take a shower, make sure that was like wash your hair before church the next day. Uh-huh. And the goal was to be on the couch in jammies by the time Adventures in Odyssey came on the radio, and
that's
we would listen
so
to it
awesome.
As a family. And I mean, that those stories were so powerful. I have my own ideas, but why do you think storytelling is such a powerful thing?
Well, storytelling, I mean, all media is about storytelling, but storytelling in general, when we're just listening, is allowing the listener to engage. It's much more active type of media, even because you can't see it. So, you know, and storytelling, if it's done well, you know, just fires your imagination. It helps you when you create the scene yourself. I think it creates a personal story. Even though the story's public, whatever you've imagined, you know, even Phil Lawler and Paul McCusker, who are the writers, one day got together to write about something or other and discovered they both had completely different ideas of what Wits End looked like and how it was arranged, you know, because they had been writing about it. You know, and I'm sure my idea is different from theirs. They started coming up with these cartoons that kind of blew it. But the storytelling in general, I think, because if you have themes that are universal, that's what's compelling. A lot of people can relate. Like, you listened as a family. I'm sure your parents related differently than you did, but everybody can relate.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I think now as a parent, and my children have listened to the same Adventures in Odyssey, it's storytelling is powerful in so many ways. But as a parent, I'm watching them learn things that I have been saying for their entire life. But all of a sudden, a character says the same thing. And it's like, hey, that's a great idea. I should live like that.
Well, if you're married, that same thing happens with your husband. When somebody else tells him, it's a great idea. You could have been telling them for years. And they're like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. I think it's almost like a safe way for people to relate to a truth or an idea, because there's enough separation between my life and that character's life that it doesn't feel like an intrusion, or I don't have to get defensive. But when a character is going through it, I can relate in a safe way.
Yeah, bingo. It makes it more objective. And that's really, it makes it more objective. Just like if you go to any creative things, you know, people who talk about things that are made for kids, often a story will involve a teddy bear or an animal or something, not a human being, because it just makes it that more, much more objective for them to get the lesson. Instead of saying, don't touch that hot stove, you watch some character do it and you say, oh, yeah, that's not a good idea. But it's nobody telling you what to do, per se.
Yeah. Have you ever thought about how many people you have reached through your storytelling?
I can't imagine. A lot. I mean, even last summer, we did two live shows to, we've done over 1,000 episodes, and there was a big old celebration, and we had 6,000 people come out to Colorado Springs, and, you know, those are the ones that could make it. I know it's all over the world. I mean, years ago, I remember they had a big chart at Focus on the family who produces the show. We were the number one show in Zimbabwe. Like, okay.
Wow.
Wow.
Right? Who would have thought?
I know. And I had talked to somebody in Africa once, I don't know why, who was a listener, who would translate it to their grandkids in whatever language those, you know, listen and tell them. I mean, for a lot of people, we take so much for granted here in this country. We're definitely a first plus world country.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been all over the world, and it still is being broadcast. You know, we have the app now, and people are going to have to get that, but radio stations are going to keep running the stuff up until album 80, I think. But there's always new listeners.
Yeah.
So, no, I don't know. Who would know, you know?
That's
I think
incredible.
What's more important isn't who listens, but who's touched by it or changed by it or, you know, that's the goal, right?
Yeah. Well, what if there are listeners, I hope there are listeners for this podcast who are creative and they're just like, I have all this, these ideas and this creativity, but I want to use it for good, but I'm not sure how to make a difference with it. I want to ask you a couple things, but I want you to tell me first about the really unique experience you have available for people like that. Can you give us a little bit of information about your Audio Drama Institute?
Oh, okay, about that. Well, I was going to say, when I had that desire 35 years ago, 40 years ago, I prayed about it. Mm-hmm. You know, I asked God to, you know, and I'll tell you what, I was rejected from the drama club at the church because they thought I hadn't been a Christian long enough. And I was, you know, I had my SAG card. I'm like, okay, you know, but God has something for you to do. So I say definitely be open to it. But the Audio Drama Intensive is this brainchild of John Fornoff's. He's been writing for audio drama forever and all for all different things, not just Odyssey. I mean, Abide, Jake Muller, I think. No, I don't know if he writes for Jake Muller, but Jonathan Park.
Yeah, he's Jonathan Park.
He's Adventum is one of his deals.
Unshackled.
He's worked at where I went in New York. Lamplighter. Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
He's done a lot of stuff, and but he's also started voice acting too, and he's really pretty darn good. So he had this idea that he wants, you know, a lot of people have grown up, especially in the church like you, on Odyssey, but because of, I think, COVID, frankly, and the change in technology, a lot of people are producing what they call scripted podcasts. And this intensive is a week-long, I call it camp, because it's at a camp in the mountains in Colorado Springs, up in the mountains, way up high, with a little creek running through a river, and it's just a beautiful place, but it's like almost like a retreat, but it's an audio drama retreat where he's having music produced, composers who've done audio drama, writers, me, I'll be working with the acting and directing, And to give people the complete experience of just to get to learn. I was telling you before you recorded, it's almost like when you go to college and you get a degree, they make you take all these classes and your interest might be one particular thing, but you learn about the whole production experience. And that's what John wanted to do. He wants to get people familiar with, you know, even fundraising is part of it. You know, how do you get these projects off the ground? And so, and, you know, when you're hanging out and just talking to people there, you know, it's not going to be too many people going to this. It's August. Oh, I don't have the
3rd through 9th.
Thank you. 3rd through 9th in Colorado Springs and Audio Drama Intensive. If I should have a link, I'm sure, on my Instagram, Katie Glee VO, and it's coming up, but it won't be like so many people that you won't be able to talk to everybody. And it's also a way to network. And meet people face to face, make relationships, and start finding ways. You know, this person wants to write, this person wants to act, this person wants to direct, or, you know, maybe we'll come up with some really great content. They're going to do a project. I know that.
That's
They're going to
cool.
create their own script. We're going to record it, something short, but just, you know, to have the experience of making an audio drama. And, we're all going to learn a lot. I always learn. Whenever I get with other people, I learn something. And all that stuff helps inform. It helps a writer know how to write for strictly audio. That's different animal than other genres. You know, actors to understand. You took our workshop, you know, and what you need to pay attention to. When you're recording for an audio drama, you know, it's completely, you and I both work in an invisible medium. So everything we do has to be communicated through our voices or sound effects. I think they're going to be working with sound effects too.
That's cool.
Yeah, all the stuff, all the components.
It's a very unique experience. So if you're listening and you're interested, we will have all that information in the show notes. So be sure to check that out. That's going to be such a
Thank
great experience.
You. So I said, okay, John, I guess he asked me if I would join him. And so I feel like I'm going to be a camp counselor. I was a Girl Scout for 12 years. So I'm like, this is going to be fun.
Yeah, Connie Kendall can whip those kids into shape.
Camp Wadenut, here we come.
Oh, I love it. One thing I love about how you are using your gift is just that you could use this gift and this talent, this experience that you have for very selfish gain, right? You could just rack up the awards and the cash and the notoriety and like...
Well, so much cash.
you could just, you know, sit on a pile of it like Darkwing Duck, right?
Didn't yeah.
Somebody do that in Darkwing Duck?
Scrooge McDuck.
There we go. Scrooge McDuck. But... you're using all of this for the good of other people. And I think even if people aren't specifically talented in voiceover or production or anything audio, we all have gifts that we've been given. And
even, you know what? You bring up a good point that if you're just interested in it and want to have fun, you know, come to camp or the audio drama intensive, if that's what you're talking about, it'll be a great experience. Nobody has to be a genius. And it's a collaborative medium. So we all have to work together.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you say doing things for, yes, John really wants everybody to get something out of it, to know that they're important, that their ideas are good, that everybody will find something, I think, that inspires them or encourages them in some way. Mm. And it's going to be a positive environment. So if that's what you're talking about, yes, I think that's true. But as far as all the other stuff, I really feel like, you know, like Spider-Man, like God's given me this wonderful group of people that I meet, group individuals, and my job is to appreciate them for who they are and for, you know, it's such an honor to be part of something that means so much to so many people. Like I was saying before, whether it's Odyssey or a cartoon, a game, a video game, it's a blessing to be a blessing, you know, and I think I just don't ever want to take that for granted. When you're working, you have no idea. There's some 6-year-old or 8-year-old out there listening to you, and then if you're blessed to live long enough, they become 30 years old and they come and tell you who they are. And you're just like, wow, I just want to hug them all. And I feel like Odyssey listeners are like family anyway. They're family. That's all there is to it.
Yeah. I've got one more question for you.
Okay.
I'm thinking
Bring it on, Jennifer Clark. Bring it on.
Thinking about everybody listening, people that are gifted creatively, people that are not, how do we figure out the gifts and passions that we have in order to use them well?
You know, I had Byron Wagner on my show, Tell You Later Show, which is on Patreon and some's on YouTube. And he said something really choice that someone had shared with him, that as a voice actor, a lot of people wonder, let's just take it in that category, what genre will I be good at? And he was told, your genre will find you. And I think that's true with all of our skills. Sometimes we minimize what we're good at and don't understand how useful it can be in the right situation. So I have a PowerPoint presentation. I mean, this is such a God story. I had to give a talk somewhere, and I was on a plane, short plane ride from Portland to LA. And I'm sitting next to a guy, not knowing anything about computers. And I said, I want to try to do this thing for this PowerPoint. And he's like, oh, that's like what I do for a living, or I teach it or something. I'm like, okay, here, can you help me with this? And I've been a substitute teacher as well as an actress. I want to do an XY axis. And I want to show that you have you're born, you know, a certain way, and you're born into a family, and your life takes, you know, your life experiences, everything go this way, and you have skills and talents, and at some point those things intersect, and that's like your aha, this is what all this has led up to, this almost like Queen Esther, but you know, not quite as dramatic, but. And I often reference this girl I knew in college who loved art. She was an artist, but she also loved medicine and didn't know if she wanted to go to medical school or go to, you know, artist. And she ended up illustrating medical journals. Well, hello. Wow. Is that a huge aha? It still gives me goosebumps thinking about it. And so there's something. So I always say, just do whatever you feel like doing. Don't do it because you think you're supposed to. Mm-hmm. Do what you feel like doing, and you'll eventually, that thing that you love is going to intersect with something that will either be an extreme avocation or a vocation, something that you'll be able to make money at. So don't say, I really like playing the guitar, but I don't think it's going to pay any money. Just do it, and then do your other things, and you were surprised. You know, I thought I wanted to be a teacher growing up. I never thought about voice acting. But now I end up teaching voice acting. And because out of necessity, I became a substitute teacher years ago for things that happened in my life, I learned a lot of skills that help me when I'm with a group of people. Well, you can't plan that. It just happens.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So I hope that's encouraging to somebody. And to be generous. Don't be selfish. Understand that there's not a limited pie out there. We don't have life isn't a pie with limited slices. It's just more and more slices can be added to it. You know, there's just infinite opportunity. And so don't limit yourself. Don't think it can't happen for you. If it's something that, you know, you enjoy, pursue that, and educate yourself at the same time. Keep moving, right?
Yeah.
It's that, that's not the butterfly effect, but it's some kind of effect. That, yeah. You know, an object in motion stays in motion. And, yep. and just follow your heart and don't, like, not to the exclusion of making money and taking care, but you'll never know how those things. How many people do we know in voiceover who left corporate jobs who ended up doing voiceover for the corporation they left?
That's true.
I don't know your story, but.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it be is. Nice to everybody. That's the human kindness aspect, because mm-hmm. you never know, you know, it's just as easy to be nice. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid. Be nice.
Yeah. And use your gifts for others. They're given to us for a reason.
Yeah. You know, you bless other people and it will come back to you.
Yeah.
It will.
Does.
Yeah. I think so. I think so. Maybe not how you expect.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Katie, if listeners want to connect with you online, where can they find you?
Online? No. Good. On Instagram at Katie Lee VO. Yeah. And my website, katielee.com, KATIELEIGH.com, if people are listening. Yeah, that's all. You can write to me. And when I'm teaching classes, we love to, I don't do them regularly, but I do. I also work with the GVAA as a coach, Global Voice Acting Academy, which is a mm-hmm. wonderful, wonderful place to learn about voice acting, I believe. And it's in Zoom. You don't have to be there in person. And you get a really great education. And David Rosenthal, who runs it, is just a brilliant, wonderful, warm-hearted, kind person himself. Mm-hmm. So.
Yes.
You can't go wrong there. Did I answer the question?
You did.
Okay,
yeah. And
good.
I'll put that in the show notes too. So it's just a click away.
Yeah. Watch the Tell You Later show too.
So yeah. We'll put it there too.
Where we say, where you learn so much about so little and vice versa. Voiceover, pop
one.
Culture and beyond. Yes. Yeah, it can get a little silly at times.
Well, thank you for sharing with us today, Katie. You've made a difference in my life for decades. Through storytelling.
Now I just want to hug you.
I know. I know.
Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful that we can be a part of storytelling even if we're not the storytellers? That's the cool thing. I'm not a writer. I just get to read it. And I can't take credit for anything except for being there and able to read the words on the page. So
yeah. It's a good reminder, though, that we just have to do our part, you know? And then we get to make a difference in people's lives.
Absolutely.
Just doing what we can do.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Thanks for being here. And for those of you listening, just a reminder that if you're interested in the Audio Drama Institute's Making Great Audio Drama in Colorado, check the show notes and make sure that you jump on that, because that happens August 3rd through 9th.
Very, very soon. And I'm making sure that we're having fires and marshmallows. Okay.
You got it. If you're in Colorado at a camp. Well, I hope you have a great turnout.
Thank you. I know it's going to be fun.
Cool. Thanks for being here, Katie.
So long.
Take care. Thanks for listening to Human Kindness at Work. If you enjoyed this podcast, I'd love to hear your story, whether it's an act of kindness you've received or one you've been a part of giving. Just visit humankindnessatwork.com and click on Share a Story. You never know. Your story could inspire others to be a part of human kindness at work in their world. See you next time.